Read and hear more about important news and policy issues at ncpolicywatch.com. This is News and Views.
Welcome back to News and Views. I'm Rob Schofield. There's nothing particularly new about the problem of housing discrimination. Every year, just as has been the case for many decades, thousands of North Carolinians are prevented from renting or buying homes because of the color of their skin, their religion, sexual orientation, or many other factors. Interestingly, however, there have been some new trends in housing discrimination. For instance, a large percentage of housing discrimination cases these days involve people with disabilities. Recently, I got a chance to sit down and discuss the state of housing discrimination in North Carolina and learn more about how people who feel they've been discriminated against can get assistance with attorney Jeff Dillman of the Fair Housing Project at Legal Aid of North Carolina. Well, Jeff Dillman, welcome to News and Views. Good to have you with us.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Talk to our listeners a little bit about your organization, why it exists, why this is an issue in 2020 in modern 21st century America.
Sure. Well, the Fair Housing Project is a part of Legal Aid of North Carolina, and Legal Aid is a statewide law firm that provides legal assistance to low-income individuals in civil matters. And so the Fair Housing Project, we focus specifically on issues of housing discrimination. We represent victims of discrimination. We do a lot of education and training for people about what their rights are, what their responsibilities are if they're a landlord or other housing provider. And then we also do fair housing testing, where we send out individuals to try to rent an apartment or buy a home or get a loan and see how they're treated based on their race or their national origin or whether they have a disability.
And the reality, of course, is that this remains a problem, even in our modern society. Maybe we thought we were past some of this stuff, but not quite yet.
Yes, unfortunately, our country has a very long history of housing discrimination going back centuries, really. And for many, many years, individuals were denied housing. They were unable to buy a home, to rent an apartment based on their race, based on their national origin. And so in 1968, Congress passed the Fair Housing Act, which made housing discrimination unlawful based on race, religion, national origin, and color. And since that time, sex discrimination has been made unlawful, disability-based discrimination, and families with children are also protected.
We've made some progress probably in some areas, but long way to go in many respects. Y'all issued a report, The State of Fair Housing in North Carolina. You've got some new findings on sort of, and there have been some changes, right? There's some interesting trends in recent years on how this phenomenon is working its way through our society.
Yes. So for many years, race discrimination was the most common basis that people filed complaints based on. And in the last 5 years, disability discrimination in North Carolina has become the most common. And that actually mirrors trends nationwide. Nationwide, we're seeing more complaints now filed based on disability discrimination than based on race discrimination. That doesn't certainly mean that race discrimination has ceased becoming a problem. It's an issue throughout North Carolina as well as throughout the country. We have a long history of racial discrimination, but disability-based complaints have overtaken them in the past few years.
Interesting. Is there a typical disability case that comes to y'all's attention?
Well, for disability discrimination, the law prohibits not only refusing to rent to someone or sell to someone because they have a disability, but it also gives people with disabilities certain rights to ask for an accommodation, mm-hmm. to a change in a rule or a policy that a landlord might have that the individual needs because of their disability.
Right.
For example, if someone is blind, they have a right to have a service animal, a seeing eye dog,
sure.
in their apartment, even if there's normally a no pets policy. There's other rules that people could ask for changes for if they need to reserve parking space or they need certain other changes in order to allow them to live there. They're allowed to ask for that type of accommodation.
These cases come to y'all. Tell us how the process works. What kind of services does the project provide?
Well, if people believe they've been discriminated against, they can call us. They can contact us through our website, fairhousingnc.org, or they can phone in to us and contact our intake staff. We will evaluate if they're eligible for services, and then we will determine what action is appropriate, whether they need representation, whether they just need some advice,
right.
and have a question about whether something is permissible or not. We can evaluate them and then provide services.
And you're serving folks throughout North Carolina?
Yes, yes. We provide services to all 100 counties in North Carolina.
Wow.
In some instances, when someone calls in, we might need to do some fair housing testing to confirm whether discrimination is going on or not. And that's one thing that's actually very important, that a lot of people experience discrimination and may not know about it. And that sounds kind of strange. I mean, you think, how don't you know you were discriminated against? But if a landlord is trying to discourage African Americans, say. They're not going to put up a sign that says whites only.
Right.
That's not acceptable nowadays in most parts of our country. And so what they will do is they will discourage the African American. They might say, oh, I just, you know, the rent is a little bit higher. The person may not know what the rent is, or they might offer a discount to a white tenant, or they might tell someone, oh, I'm sorry, I just rented the apartment. Right. I'm sorry, it's no longer available, when in fact it is. With our testing, we can send out two individuals in a relatively short period of time and determine whether that's true or not. And we have found instances where landlords misrepresent the availability. They've told our African-American testers nothing is available, and half an hour later, they're showing it to our white tester.
Wow. So what happens then? How do we enforce these laws that are supposed to prohibit this kind of stuff?
Well, housing discrimination is unlawful, and so individuals who are discriminated against have a right to file a complaint. They can file a lawsuit in federal or state court. They can also file what's called an administrative complaint, a complaint with the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development, HUD, or with a state or local agency if there's one that operates in their local jurisdiction that would also investigate the complaint and try to achieve a resolution that way.
Do you feel like we're making any progress? Do you feel like the numbers are going up, they're going down? You've been working in this area for a while now. What's your sort of assessment of where things are in this world of fair housing?
Well, HUD about every 10 years does a nationwide survey of housing discrimination. And so the last one that was done in around 2010. And that showed that there had been somewhat of a decrease in instances of race discrimination and national origin discrimination throughout the country. And that's a good thing. However, the numbers are still much too high for us. And any instance of housing discrimination is something that concerns us. And so we think that it's important that individuals, if they have a question about whether they might have been treated unfairly, if they know someone who might have been discriminated against, to reach out to us or to other organizations and try to, you know, get some assistance, because we're happy to provide it. And we provide assistance free of charge. We don't charge for representing individuals. That's part of the services that we provide.
And that's important to note. I'm talking to Jeff Dillman, who's the co-director of the Fair Housing Project at Legal Aid of North Carolina. So, Jeff, your report, The State of Fair Housing in North Carolina, has some recommendations about some things we should do to move forward in terms of funding for enforcement and how we ought to be making these laws work. Is there any of those that you really think deserve being highlighted here?
Well, I think it's important that state and local governments devote increased resources to education and outreach. I think there's still a lot of people who don't know what to do if they are discriminated against, who to contact. And so I think education is important for housing consumers, for renters and home buyers.
Right.
It's also important for landlords and property managers.
Yeah.
You know, even though the law has been in place since 1968, some landlords don't know they can't say no kids in their advertisements, or they try to evict a woman when she becomes pregnant. And so it's important that landlords and housing providers also be provided with education about what their responsibilities are under the law.
The area of disabilities you highlighted, which seems to be this mushrooming area, is an in particular one where people may just not have thought about this. They may not even have bad intentions, but they don't realize that can't do that.
Yeah, and that's, I think, one of the reasons that we've seen increased numbers of disability-based complaints. A landlord thinks under fair housing laws they just have to treat everyone identically. And in certain areas of the law, that's correct. You don't want to treat someone differently because of their race or their religion. But treating everyone identically who has a disability may be discriminatory. Oh. And so, you know, they have to make those accommodations that I mentioned earlier for someone with a disability. And so they may inadvertently at times discriminate and violate the law. And so that's an area where education for landlords, property managers, and other housing providers is very important.
And presumably, we could use a few more legal aid lawyers and fair housing lawyers. Obviously, you've got a great staff that's enormously productive, but it can only serve so many people in the state.
Yes. No, obviously, a lot of resources are needed to provide assistance in the enforcement area, to do fair housing testing, to determine how often discrimination is occurring, and to provide a deterrent to landlords who might be discriminating, and also to provide representation for individuals. I mean, we receive at Legal Aid many more calls than we can provide assistance to or legal representation to. We try to provide some level of assistance to everyone, but, you know, we have a small staff and can't represent everyone in court who contacts us.
We're thankful for the work you are able to do. It's an incredibly important service to our state in an area that deserves more attention than it probably gets. Again, the website for the Fair Housing Project is fairhousingnc.org, and you've got a toll-free number, right?
Yes, 855-797-3247. And people can call us and get assistance.
All right. Well, thank you very much. Keep up the good work. We'll talk to you again real soon. Hopefully, we'll have made some progress in 2020 and talk about that the next time we get together.
Thanks. It's been great being here.
Coming up next, we'll discuss a powerful new WRAL-TV documentary on a subject that gets far too little attention. Don't go away.